You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of While We Watch, the show for fans, by fans, about fans. I am Mags, and today's guest is, for the first time in quite a few episodes, is someone who's actually not been on the show before, and he's part of one of the fastest rising and one of the most interesting and diverse content creators. He's part of the team over at WrestleNews 365. Today I'm speaking with Owen. Owen, how are you?
I'm not too bad. Thank you for having me on. How are you doing?
Absolutely not a problem having you on, sir. Thank you for coming on. Yeah, and I'm doing really well. Excited to get your story, to get your history in wrestling.
Yeah, always happy to talk some wrestling. That's what I love to do.
Absolutely. So we'll go with the first question that I always go with to start the ball rolling. What's your first experience or your first memory of wrestling?
Yeah, I think about this all the time, actually, because it's one of those ones where it's difficult to pinpoint it. It always feels like wrestling was kind of always there. The one I think I can pinpoint it back to is my cousins had a copy of, I'm not sure what game it would have been, but it was a WCW game. And I remember playing it with them. And I must have at the time been like, only like 4 or 5 years old or something like that. And I remember the characters on there just being completely blown away by the characters on there. Seeing someone that was actually called the Giant and was 7 feet tall just kind of blew my mind. Even in the pixelated form, which I was looking at it at, kind of blew my mind. And then I think the first actual like show that I watched was the post WrestleMania 17 Raw, I think, is the first one I watched, or I have some memories of it. And then I can definitely say the first episode or anything I watched was a SmackDown in 2001 in the middle of the Invasion storyline. Yes, I missed the Attitude Era. I missed the greatest era of wrestling. I've had to go back and watch it. I'm jealous of everyone that got to live through all of that. It's amazing, especially with what we've got today. I have to do that. My Monday night is the Wednesday Night Wars, so I think I lost on that one.
Well, technically in Britain, it's more like the Thursday night fumble, I suppose, or Thursday night tussle.
Pretty much, especially if you actually do watch like Dynamite on ITV Hub, because it just never goes on there. So
no, exactly.
So yeah, the first thing I can definitely remember watching was an episode of SmackDown in 2001. I have vivid memories of Billy Kidman winning the Cruiserweight Championship, and for some reason that hooked me. I've watched pretty much everything since. I've gone back and watched everything since. I actually bought the WWE or Pro Wrestling Encyclopedia when it came out. I was that kid at school that, you know. It's always difficult when you grow up with a wrestling fan, isn't it? Because you always, you know, you're almost a bit cautious of telling people, yeah, like it's some sort of weird secret, because you will get the response of, well, you know, that's fake. Yes, I do know, or whatever. Like that's some kind of diss to you. It's like, well, yeah, I know it's fake, but when you're watching, I know, the Avengers, don't get me wrong, I love the Avengers, but I don't nudge the person sitting next to me and go, you know, this isn't real. Of course you know it's not real.
Exactly.
Of course we know it's not real. Like, you know, we're never trying to say it isn't. In the movie, they're pretending it's real because that's the point. And wrestling's the same, you know. It's all about enjoying it. It's entertainment. It's having fun.
Exactly.
So that, yeah, I guess that's the first thing I watched, which is a really weird first thing. Like most people, it's like, you know, oh, I saw Hulk Hogan body slam Andre the Giant. It means I saw Billy Kidman win the Cruiserweight Championship on a SmackDown. And it got me.
Of all the matches that you could have picked,
yeah,
to drag you into this wacky sport of men in lycra pretend farting, it was Billy Kidman winning the Cruiserweight
Championship. Yeah.
You couldn't write that story.
No, that's how you know it's the truth, because no one in their right mind would pick that.
Exactly. Exactly. So going back to when you first started watching wrestling, who were the guys that you kind of gravitated to, who were like your wrestling heroes almost?
It's, again, it's a difficult one, because when I started watching, it was really in the middle of like the transition phase. So I was started watching and it was right at the end of Steve Austin and The Rock. I was always a Steve Austin fan, because I just thought, even as a kid, I thought, oh my God, this guy's amazing. This guy's awesome. But then obviously he disappeared really quickly. And then it was sort of, you know, Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle. And I really liked I really enjoyed Brock Lesnar at the time. And then he disappeared. It kind of felt like everyone was leaving me so quickly. But I would probably say my go-to guy was always like even though now I look back on it with different eyes, I really liked Triple H when I was growing up. The whole evolution I thought was the coolest thing. And then now obviously you go back and you read all the stuff when it's kind of like, actually he might have been holding people down, burying them, all that kind of stuff. I loved Evolution. I was a big Evolution guy. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I agree. When was the first ever time that you attended like a live wrestling event, when you last saw wrestling in person?
I went to go see a SmackDown live tour in the UK here after WrestleMania 19. So, and I feel very fortunate that I went to see that one now. So Brock Lesnar was the WWE champion, mm-hmm. nearly after just damn near killing himself at WrestleMania. I think he faced the Big Show. This was around the time where he had that stretcher match with the Big Show at Judgment Day, and he lifts him up on the forklift. Like, it was around that time. So he was facing the Big Show. And I got to see Los Guerreros go up against World's Greatest Tag Team. I got to see Eddie Guerrero live, which was one of my big, you know, that's something, you know, you tick off your list. Even though I've obviously all the stuff about his final days, got to see Chris Benoit live. Got to see The Undertaker, not as the actual Undertaker, but he was still the American Badass at the time.
Wow.
That was my first time, and I subsequently went pretty much most times after that. But that was my first experience. And now I look back on it and I just think, oh God, I'm so lucky. Like, I couldn't believe it.
It's like a murderer's row. I mean, pardon the pun, but it's like a murderer's row of amazing wrestling talent.
Yeah. It was great. And it's now, because whenever I go to like events now, I just think, it's great. Don't get me wrong, going to like wrestling events, but you just never, that talent that was there at the time is just, it's crazy.
Yep. So in the time that you've been a wrestling fan, has there ever been like a period where you kind of fell out of love with it, or it just wasn't speaking to you as a fan anymore?
Not particularly. There was a point in, it was only ever once, which I thought a conscious decision of, I'm not going to watch this anymore. And weirdly, it was just at the start of the Nexus angle. And not because I didn't like the angle, I thought it was great. Like, I really enjoyed the Nexus angle. I thought they got destroyed at SummerSlam, and that could have been something really fun. But at the time, like, I played football a lot for like the county and all that sort of stuff, and I was having trials at pro clubs, and I thought, oh, okay, well, I'm just, you know, you get to that age where you sort of, you have to make a decision whether you want to stick with wrestling or not, or if it's something you want to grow out of or not. So for maybe 2 weeks, I decided that I was, you know, I'd grown out of it, you know, I needed to move on, all that sort of stuff. And 2 weeks later, I was reading the Raw results on my phone. And I was like, I'm probably stuck with this. Yeah. And it's the addiction that you can never give up, unfortunately. Once you're in, you're in.
Yeah, I had a period where I was out of watching wrestling for about 10 years.
But really?
I never, like you said, you stuck with it. I was always like checking the Raw and the SmackDown results on like websites. So whilst I didn't watch it, I still knew what was going on. I was still involved in the storyline. So it is kind of like, it's a kind of a drug that you just you might spend a bit of time away from, but you're always kind of gravitating back to it.
And for something that's like people like, you know, you people you go into school with or you grow up with don't really admit to watching. It's just it's everywhere. Everyone knows about it. I think now with social media, like I know obviously some of the trends you see on your phone are designated to you from your patterns and that. But every time there's like a wrestling event on, it's always the number one trending thing of the world. And I just sort of think when I see that, I'm like, people who don't watch wrestling must look at that trend and go, what is that? And then click on it and go, what is wrestling? What's wrestling? You know, there's so much going on and it's always the number one talked about thing in the world. So it, that always blows my mind. The popularity might, you know, change over time with terms of like live viewing figures and all that sort of stuff. And people like to talk about the ratings and we talk about the ratings because people talk about it. But it's just, wrestling's always going to be there, isn't it? It's always going to be that popular. And I always, sometimes I do like to play the hypothetical what if in my head of like, oh, what if I wasn't a wrestling fan? And I just think, but I would still be surrounded by it because it's just, it's always there. It's always there.
Especially in this world of, like I said, this world of social media where the information is at your fingertips and it's kind of hard to kind of avoid. Yeah. But obviously being a content creator, social media is vitally important to making sure you get your name out there and making sure you're keeping up with what's current. But it can also be an incredibly toxic environment, especially wrestling Twitter. So being someone who is so used to using social media, especially to push your brand and to make sure you get your news out to the people who want to read it. How do you feel about wrestling social media and wrestling Twitter especially?
You know, it is a bit of a toxic environment, but I think it only gets as toxic as how far deep you go in. You know, if you can tell by if someone, you know, in terms of like trolling and stuff like that, you can always just like click on the person. And if they've got like 3 followers, you go, well, that's what they do. They're on here for that. So, you know, like with anything, you just don't give them oxygen and they'll just die off, you know? So they just, with that sort of stuff. And like the reason I, you know, started creating content, especially stuff on like social media, is because I just love talking about wrestling, you know, and regardless of if someone's got a different opinion to me, I think that's interesting. You know, I'm not one of these people. The only thing that annoys me is one of these people that when you see someone, you say their opinion, they go, oh, your opinion's wrong. Well, just your opinion by default can't be wrong. It's your it's your opinion. You know, and I think that's the most interesting thing is discussing people's opinion. Going, oh, I didn't think about it like that. Or that's interesting. They didn't like that. Like the Royal Rumble this weekend, there was I put out a tweet afterwards saying, you know, describe the Rumble in 3 words. I was thinking it was going to be unanimous, like best Rumble ever, like that kind of thing, because I really enjoyed the Rumble. I thought it was great. I thought it was one of the better Rumbles in a long time. And people were fuming. Some people were really angry. They were like, oh, Vince must go, boring. And I was looking at it being like, wow. And then you discuss. That's the whole point. Social media, people forget with social media, especially with branding as well, people forget like it's in the word social. It's all about talking. You know, you can keep putting stuff out, but if you're not talking to people, then what's the point, you know? Yeah. So I think that's what it comes down to, is understanding that people have opinions and there is no such thing as a wrong opinion, and just talking. And then if you see someone that's obviously trying to get a rise out of you, just don't respond to them. You know, yeah. It's easy.
Great advice. From my point of view, I wouldn't be creating this content if it wasn't for the likes of wrestling Twitter, if it wasn't for being able to get those stories out. I wouldn't be able to contact you. I wouldn't be able to do this episode. But on the flip side, it provides an anonymity to people, so they can air these horrible thoughts, or they can say these horrible things to people, knowing that there's not very much like in terms of a comeback for them. And then obviously you get the people who kind of like live up to this character, and like I said, they speak like their opinions are facts when they're far from it. They are opinions,
exactly.
So yeah, it is kind of a double-edged sword. We need it to get our content out to the masses, but it can be a very, very toxic place sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, the thing with people thinking that their opinions are facts, or it's sort of eye opening in the sense that you realize that some people just, they can't, like, it blows their mind that someone else not only has a different opinion to them, but also disagrees with something that they say. Like, people can get really offended by that. And I don't know, that for me, that's just never really been the case. Like I said, I always welcome people having different opinions, and that's, you know, that's life, isn't it? Everyone's got a different viewpoint of looking at stuff. And with social media, it's as fun as you want to make it. You know, if you're one of those people that it's too much for you, then just my advice would be not to do it. Or if you get easily offended by different opinions, or, you know, luckily my sense of humor is a very dry and sarcastic sense of humor. So, you know, if someone says a sarcastic thing to me, I just, you know, I'll go, oh, okay. Some people, you know, I suppose that's the other problem with social media or any like text thing in general. You can never tell is how people are saying something. You know, sometimes that kind of misses the boat a bit, but I don't know. For me, social media is just a bit of fun. You know, it's not the end of the world. It's not life. You know, I think the best thing to do with it is just not take it too seriously. And then hopefully then anything you see on there, you just don't take too seriously and it just goes over your head. It's all about having fun. Like when I'm like doing the coverages of like Raw or SmackDown, I respond to a lot of WWE's things they put out. And, you know, especially if something's bad, you know, it's funny when you put something about, like, for instance, when MVP, right, when he came back on Raw this week, I had the gif of Brock Lesnar dancing at the Rumble at the weekend. So immediately we said, MVP's out next. You put the gif of Brock Lesnar underneath it, and then people, you know, it's funny. Like that's what social media is. It's meant to be fun.
Exactly. And never a truer word was spoken. It is as toxic as you want it to be, I suppose. You can, there's always a mute and a block button if people's opinions or like attitude don't agree with you, then block away.
Like I've put out stuff before when I've said like, oh, what's your opinion on this? Or I put out one tonight, said, should WWE bring back the Cutting Edge? And for me, I really enjoyed Cutting Edge segments, but then someone responded and went, oh, along with A Moment of Bliss, Miz TV, the Dirt Sheet maybe coming back, and the Kevin Owens show. They went, oh, it's too many, there's no need. And you look at it and you go, oh, fair enough. You know, don't necessarily agree, but fair enough. You know, and the fact that someone's taken the time to actually respond to you or open the line of conversation with you to tell you how they feel is quite, you know, it's quite a privilege, I guess, as well. No, it's obviously it's different with if it's obscenities and telling you that they hate you. But I like to think of it as they wouldn't do that in the street. You wouldn't walk up to someone in the street and go, your opinion's stupid, I hate you. You'd be like, what? You're crazy.
Exactly.
So, you know, you just have to realize that they wouldn't do it on the street. They're only doing it because they, you know, they're behind a screen or something like that. So, like I said, if you don't take it too seriously, then, you know, it won't bother you as much.
Exactly. Right, let's get back to the wrestling. What would you say is your favorite ever show or event or pay-per-view?
That is a tough one. That is a really tough one. Ooh. Now, some people are gonna be like, "Oh, I'm not sure," because it's a bit of a one match show. You think of Money in the Bank, 2011, CM Punk, but that would be one of my favorite events. But I've just gone back and watched Canadian Stampede from '97 recently, and that is a one match show. Because the ones before it, I can't even remember. But that main event is something else. The 5-on-5 tag match, the crowd, like at certain points, the actual camera, the hard cam is shaking. It's awesome. It's awesome. And there's a load of backstory behind that as well. I didn't realize that when Steve Austin's, I think he's like, attacking Owen Hart, he's like wrapping his knees around the post or something like that, and Bruce Hart, Brett's brother, just starts punching him in the back and just starts beating him up. He gives him some really stiff kidney shots. That was like not planned. Apparently Austin was hot about it, but I love that match, and because that is like it was the show, I would say that's probably got to be up there. But I'm one of those people that it's always quite difficult for me to say, like, oh, this is my favorite this, this is my favorite that, because I don't know. I'm one of those people where it changes like every 5 minutes.
Yeah. For me, if I were to like big champ in one down, it probably would be WrestleMania 17. But again, I think I'm in the same kind of vein as you, where it's not so much a show that I remember. It's parts of a show, or certain matches. So yeah, I can enjoy matches from the mid 80s, and also then matches from like the 2010s. So there's so much good wrestling that it is hard to pin down to one particular show and say that's what speaks to me the most.
WrestleMania 17 is where it's one of those ones where I guess it's because of just how stacked that card is. I mean, that's something, you know, it's argued that's kind of the end of the Attitude Era, that show. Like, it's, you know, it's led up to that point, and then it's off after that, because it's, you know, the Austin heel turn that didn't necessarily really take, the Austin with McMahon, but the card itself, it's just like, it's, you talk about a who's who and the matches on there. Obviously got the TLC match, which is just iconic. And even like the little things on that show, which are great, is like the hardcore match with the golf buggies.
Yeah. Which nearly ended the show.
Yeah, exactly. Like those stories. But then also you think like about how great a show is. It's got like a six-man tag? When they have like Right to Censor and the APA and someone else like that, which you wouldn't think is going to be on the best show ever. But I mean, it's definitely up there. It's definitely up there. But it's one of those ones for me that like people will say it and I'll go, oh yeah, that's good as well. Like I'm not very good at making definitive answers. Sort of, I'll just go, yeah, that's good, yeah.
Yeah, it's just wrestling in general is good.
Yeah, I'll go, oh yeah, that's good, yeah.
So with the website and the Twitter feed and all the content that you put out, you have to be it's in your interest to be well up on current wrestling. Mm-hmm. So what current wrestling products are you currently into?
So obviously everything WWE is a must if you're covering pro wrestling. Obviously AEW as well is pretty much a must to watch. Most of the bigger New Japan shows. Watch NWA Power every week. Watched the Hard Times pay-per-view last Friday. Thought that was excellent. For NWA Power this week was particularly good as well. Moving into actually a little bit of watching some Impact Wrestling recently, purely because obviously the Tessa Blanchard controversy, all that sort of stuff. But then I also put out a post the other day of saying, because you sometimes have to gauge, especially with the smaller promotions, whether it's really worth covering. Because if not a lot of people are going to respond to it, it's, you don't get much bang for your buck there. But I got a big response to that, being like, yeah, I watch it every week, or I really enjoy it. More people should watch it. So dipping my toe into a bit of Impact Wrestling at the moment when I can, with time permits, because there's wrestling pretty much every day of the week now, or multiple shows every day of the week. So I would say those are probably the main ones. You know, you got your NXTs as well, NXT UK, all of it.
Yeah, so you mentioned there that you watch AEW, and that's kind of the new kid on the block, kind of ruffling a lot of wrestling feathers. How do you think that the AEW has gone in the short time that it's been a product?
It's very divisive, isn't it, AEW? Because you've got the people that really like it, and then you've got the people that really hate it. There doesn't seem to be many people in between with AEW at the moment. It's not perfect. It's definitely not perfect. You know, some of the some certain elements of that, some of their booking is beyond bizarre for me. You talk about the women's division in AEW, it's not even in comparison to the one in NXT. I say it every week whenever I talk about it. I don't understand the booking when it comes to their women's division. Some of their gimmicks in AEW are like WCW 2001 bad. You know, you got that, like, was it the Nightmare Collective? I was not a big fan of the Dark Order. They did those vignettes, those like cult, you know, like Scientology things. And I thought that was really interesting and a really interesting take on it. Then they had that beatdown of the Elite. And I wanted to see the Dark Order never again on my TV screen because it was terrible. But then also on the flip side of it, you know, you've got Chris Jericho, who is like must-see TV. Every time he's on the show, it's awesome. John Moxley has completely, I wouldn't even say reinvented himself. He's just been freed, hasn't he? He's, you know, you can tell he's creatively fulfilled. And he's, I got a bit of heat saying that he had a bit of Steve Austin vibe about him, but he did. Like, he's, you know, he's that, he gets the big pop every week. He's the, instead of hitting the stunner, he's hitting the paradigm shift to everyone, doesn't have any friends, he's a loner. I love that sort of stuff. And I've been enjoying, you know, I'm a Kenny Omega fan. Some people don't like him. Is he certain over the top with certain elements? Yes, but I enjoy that. I'm not the same with the Young Bucks. Like, I like their matches, but I appreciate them for what they are. If you are a fan of psychology and telling a story throughout the match, then you're not going to really like the Young Bucks matches that much. I mean, I would prefer less of, you know, the high spots and more of telling a story. But I appreciate it for what it is. Everyone likes different styles, and some people, they're catering to their audience. You know, the people forget with AEW, and they'll say like, oh, the Bucks are only doing spots and blah, blah, blah. But that's all they've ever done. That's how they got their fans. And that's the people that are going to see them at the arena. That's what they like. They're playing their greatest hits. They're playing Freebird, as you would say. That's what they do. So I'm one of those people, you know, I don't think it's terrible. But I don't think it's amazing. I think it's like any pro wrestling show. There's good and bad, and it's there's some in between in there. I think it's great for the business that there's an alternative, not necessarily just for the workers to go, but for also just the staff in general. I didn't really think about this until AEW first launched back in October, that you think about, like, just in WCW, just the people that worked at the office, you know, some people that might have been in merchandising, or someone might have been in, I don't know, advertising, whatever, they just suddenly didn't have a job anymore. So some of them might have jumped to WWE and gone on to get other jobs and all that sort of stuff. But that's a lot of people, or camera guys or whoever. So having another place for people to go and earn money doing what they love to do, you can't, regardless of how good you think the product is or not, It's good, you know, and the best thing for them is that they've been re-signed for 3 years. It's great. And now their deal, TV deal, expires at the same time as WWE's TV deal expires, which will be interesting.
Yeah. One point you said there about how it's a minority that is kind of in the middle and enjoys both the WWE and AEW. I don't actually think it's a minority. I think it's the minority is the people who are on like the opposite sides of the battlefield. It's just that they're so vocal that they kind of like the voices of the middle is kind of drowned out.
Yeah, that is probably true. Because I think it's funny when people go, I won't watch NXT because, you know, Vince McMahon's ruined wrestling. Well, Vince McMahon has nothing to do with NXT. Like, you know, pick your fights. Yeah. You know, and like everyone says, you know, this we're in 2020 now, that it's, you can watch two shows and like certain bits and not like other bits. It's fine. It's fine. You know, we should just be happy there's more wrestling. For the longest time, WWE really was the only show in town, and now there's loads. I mean, it's great, isn't it? You know, if you don't like something, you don't have to watch it. You can watch something else.
It's by far the best time to ever be a wrestling fan. No matter what kind of wrestling you enjoy, no matter what style or niche of product, there's a wrestling company out there that will fulfill your needs. When I first started watching wrestling, it was literally you got what you were given. If you wanted to watch wrestling, you only watched what was on the TV. There was no streaming services. And now you can literally log on a computer, your phone, your tablet, whatever, find a streaming service, and you could be watching wrestling from halfway across the world live. And it blows my mind that people have that this such that anger and toxicity about other people's companies when you could just be enjoying the wrestling that you watch and shouting about that from the rooftops.
I think it comes back down to, you know, people like to complain, don't they? You know, you see far more people complaining than praising, you know, something. If you watch a show, if I know 3/4 of it is excellent, but you have that 1/4 is bad, most people are going to talk about the bad quarter as opposed to the 3/4 that were really good. And I guess that almost transcends wrestling. That's life, isn't it? People like to focus on the negatives, where, and if they focus on the positives, they'd be a lot happier.
and again, it kind of like speaks into this toxicity of social media and the kind of anonymity that you get from it. You can complain and no one's going to bother.
Yeah.
But those kind of complaints and those kind of like acidic like viewpoints get more traction than if you say everything is amazing.
And I think it's funny when you go back to AEW that like when they announced the 3-year extension with Warner Media to be on TNT and moving over AEW Dark to TNT as well, like some people, almost even the people that are praising AEW, sort of went, oh, you know, not bad for a t-shirt company, you know, trying to get back at them. And it's like it's this constant battle between those, like you said, those two poles of opinion. Whereas in reality, you just go, that's great, you know. Even if you hated AEW and you didn't want to watch it, you should just go, that's great, good for them, you know. And it comes down to that. It's simple as that. Go, that's great, good for them.
So with AEW coming to the forefront, WWE obviously counter programmed them with NXT, moving it away from being a network exclusive program to being an actual televised program, and they also doubled the amount of time that the program is broadcast. How do you feel that NXT has gone basically since this kind of challenge from AEW?
I think it's quite interesting with NXT because they've, like you said, they've gone to 2 hours, they're on USA, but they haven't necessarily changed their format as much. I think their format, which they had as a 1 hour show, where it was pretty much, I mean, you had maybe some like talking segments maybe, but it was pretty much like match back to back to back to back, and that's how they told their stories. I'm not sure that necessarily works as well on a 2 hour primetime show. There needs to be, sometimes it's just a bit taxing, and NXT isn't one for having, you know, short matches. Most of their matches go at least a couple of segments or something like that, and it can be a bit tiring. I'm not one of those people that says, oh, you have to leave Full Sail University, blah blah blah. You can do a show out there, maybe, you know, on the odd occasion you could do a one from somewhere else that could work. I'm not sure necessarily that's a priority for them. I think also as well, you have to realize that the competition they're going up against with AEW. Now people go, yeah, the majority of AEW's roster hasn't been on national TV before, which is true. But you've got some big stars still in that company. You know, put it this way, if Dean Ambrose and Chris Jericho had jumped to NXT from being on Raw or something like that, you'd be like, whoa, that is a big deal. So for them to be in AEW, that's difficult for NXT to compete where, I mean, 99% of their stars haven't been on the big stage before. I mean, Finn Balor going back was a big deal because he had. I mean, apart from that, is there anyone on that roster that's been on like a Raw and SmackDown for a prolonged period of time? I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Probably the Fashion Police, maybe.
Exactly, you could count. Yeah. But in terms of them being a big draw, you know, they're not exactly going to move the needle, I suppose. So that's always going to be, I think, the thing that they're going to struggle against. The way to almost overcome that, I suppose, is do what they did at Survivor Series, make them a credible third brand, you know. We saw the post-Survivor Series bump because of it. More people were tuning in because they were like, oh, my God, loves NXT here. They're legit. They're just as good as Raw and SmackDown. The problem is the void that, even though it is put on the network 24 hours later, it has left a bit of a void on there. Someone in the their recent financial quarterly call, when one of the financial analysts said, why at a time when you've got the likes of Disney Plus launching and they're taking their products off of networks, off of things like Netflix and putting them on their own network, are you taking things off of your network and putting them on TV, which is a very good point. A big selling point of the network was not only the pay-per-views and the back catalogue, but the fact that you got like NXT with it every week. But then I suppose they're trying to counteract that by pushing NXT UK as as the network exclusive big show, because they pretty much in most matches dominated NXT at Worlds Collide at the weekend. So I think they're trying to sort that out, I suppose. But it's a very, like you said, it's a very interesting time to be a wrestling fan. There's so much going on, especially for me, like covers the news all the time. It's difficult to keep up. You know, sometimes I have things planned, like stories planned that I want to do, or videos or whatever content I want to create. And just with, I go, okay, I'll do that tomorrow. And then by tomorrow, it's not even relevant anymore. Something else has happened. You know, it's so much going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're in kind of a unique position here in the UK, because there's recently been announced a new TV deal. Obviously, yeah. we had the WWE moving to BT Sport, which for the American listeners who don't know, that's like a premium channel which you have to pay to basically access. But we've now got a kind of edited down version coming to Channel 5, which is a free-to-air station which literally all the country can get. So, but not only are they getting that, they're also getting the NXT UK show on Channel 5. So you made a very interesting point about how they're taking these products away from being network exclusive and bringing them to TV in almost an attempt to counteract AEW, but also to bring in a new audience that kind of are going by the wayside almost.
Yeah, it's really interesting. The UK wrestling scene over the last, I would say, 10 years has really evolved and become incredibly popular. Before the likes of NXT UK and before WWE started putting their presence over here, the UK independent scene was, I mean, really thriving. There were five or six really strong independent promotions. You got likes of ICW in Scotland. I mean, mm-hmm. they sold out the Hydra, didn't they, or something like that. I mean, that's a big arena, an independent company selling that out. So it'd always been bubbling up. And then I think the real trigger for it was that World of Sport came back for a brief run on ITV ITV, and then people started getting worried in the States because they went, oh, wait a minute, because they always talk about it. It's difficult to be a UK fan of wrestling because they always talk about how good our support is, or we love the shows, blah, blah, blah. But WWE only comes here twice a year. If we were such a great audience, you know, why wouldn't you come more often? That's because ultimately they thought they could only make so much money over here.
Yeah.
When they saw World of Sport come back and they went, okay, that's on free-to-air TV, that's millions of people watching. At the time, they hired, JR was in talks to be the commentator on them. Then WWE signed JR back to a deal. So that was kind of the sign. Okay, WWE were like, okay, there's something going on in the UK. And they did the NXT UK brand, which I think is done pretty well. I'm not sure in terms of how many people watch it on their network. I believe Triple H said it's like the second most thing behind NXT that's watched every week mm-hmm. on the network. But then this new TV deal, at the time when they announced it, and to our American listeners out there, I tried to explain it as if to say, like, maybe, so Sky Sports, WWE's been on, or was on Sky Sports for like 20 years over here. And maybe, because that's still a premium service, maybe, you know, if generous, maybe 50% of the country has Sky Sports, maybe, right? Mm-hmm. BT Sport, maybe 20% of the country has BT Sport, or 30. Yep. The difference is that BT Sport has a hell of a lot of money behind them. Yeah. They are the people that stole the Champions League away from Sky Sports by paying £1 billion for a Champions League deal that Sky Sports went, well, that's way too much money. They did the same thing with WWE. Now, people said to me at the time, oh, no, that's because Sky Sports didn't. It was a really weird argument. They went, no, Sky Sports just didn't want to bid that high. That's called stealing it away. Yeah. They paid more money for them. And at the time, I said I was really excited because, you know, not to sound like a massive BT mark, but their coverage of sport is really, really good, really good. In terms of their social media stuff as well and all the other programs that they have. If you're a fan of boxing, some of the BT Sport boxing unfiltered stuff that they do, all of it was just really exciting. So I said at the time, like, this is going to be great for wrestling fans here in the UK because their coverage is really good. And at the time, you also had AEW signing a deal with ITV. Initially, the deal was like to air on, what was it, like a Saturday or a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And everyone went, no, that's stupid. They changed that, said it was going to be on ITV Hub the day after, which, I mean, don't even get me started on that because it's just never on there. And I think they do something on ITV4 like the day after maybe or something like that. But again, so WWE, of course, like you said, responds to this by going on Channel 5, which is free to air. So in terms of being a wrestling fan in the UK, there's so many ways to watch wrestling now, and there is a greater emphasis on it as well. And I think the cool thing about the BT one as well is that you put it this way, you wouldn't see it on a Sky Sports, on the Super Sunday with like Man United going up against Liverpool, you would never see the presenter go, oh, and don't forget to watch Raw on Monday. That just, it wasn't a priority for them, all that sort of stuff. BT, ever since they've got WWE, every single match, every single ad break has some WWE thing on it. Yeah. Even in the middle of the games of like a, you know, a Champions League game, their most viewed game of the week, Barcelona facing whoever, they'll go, oh, don't forget you can watch the Royal Rumble this Sunday. Like that is, you know, in terms of, you know, bring it to the, you know, everyone in the public who might not watch wrestling or don't consider wrestling to be legit or popular, all that sort of stuff. You hear it in the middle of a football game in the UK, that's a big deal. That is a really big deal.
Yeah. And I think to kind of complement that, the fact that they have the UFC broadcasting rights as well, it's there's a lot of crossover fans of MMA and of wrestling, and it's a really good complement of shows that they have there.
Yeah, agreed. And they also have the Tyson Fury fight. Obviously, he's been in WWE recently. Mm-hmm. He's exclusive to BT. So there's so much crossover. And like I said, WWE or BT Sports social media is really high quality as well. Really high quality. So it's just a positive. It's a positive. There's nothing wrong with, you know, to criticize Sky, but they were very much, especially towards the latter years of just SmackDown on, Raw on. You didn't get anything else really for your buck. You didn't get NXT, you didn't get NXT UK. It was just, that was it. And I think that's probably because they never thought anyone else would come along to, you know, to bid with them. And then suddenly here come BT.
And I think the kicker in that deal was the WWE Network. Scar's deal with WWE was based on selling pay-per-views, and when the network came along and you could get all the pay-per-views for literally £10 a month, that really ate into Scar's the money they were making from WWE, and it kind of like soured the relationship almost.
Yeah, and also as well, people forget that the network launched in the States in February of 2014, but didn't launch over here till a few at least what, like 6-9 months later, something like that.
Yeah,
that, and that the reason because of that was because Sky Sports were not happy that their money wasn't going to Sky Sports box office anymore. It was going to the network. They felt a bit blindsided by it, and like you said, it soured the deal. So, you know, even back then, Sky were holding wrestling back from us. Whereas now, you know, BT, they're just they give it to you all the time. Yeah. It's great,
and it's their front and center.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of their prime. You know, it's one of their prime additions. It's one of their jewels in their crown.
Exactly. So let's get on to your wrestling content. When did you realize that you wanted to be more than just a fan of wrestling, more than just wanting to watch it? When did you realize that you wanted to start creating content that was based around wrestling?
It's quite strange actually. I only started in July. So one, and that was literally one night I couldn't sleep, and I went, you know what? I'm gonna just that'll be a cool name, WrestleLose365. Literally made the accounts, and then it just sort of slowly evolved from there. Initially it was just, you know, sharing some opinions on social media, or just like I said, just chatting with people on social media about, you know, the Raws and all that sort of stuff. And then it just gradually evolved of, I work in marketing for a living anyway, and especially digital marketing and social media. So that's kind of in my wheelhouse anyway. And I thought, okay, we'll just start slowly creating some content. And then that evolved into making like series that would have like Title Tuesday or Pick One or all of that sort of stuff, Then Versus Now. And like with anything, it kind of just evolved. But it's only been like 9 months or something. And it's just all so quickly. I remember the first month, I think we had like 700,000 impressions. And I was that blew my mind, because even in working in marketing, I've worked on some people's quite big clients' social media accounts, and I'd never seen anything like that. So over 700,000, I thought, oh my God, that's amazing. And then the next month it was like 1.3 million. I'd never seen the M next to it of million. I'd never seen the M. And I was like, oh my God, this is nuts. This is nuts. And then, like I said, it just gradually evolved from there. And I just, the most of the content that I make is I just think, oh, what would be what's interesting to me, you know. So if I'm asking people who's got the best spear, Roman Reigns or Edge, that's something that I would have a conversation about anyway. So it's strange one, because I don't think you ever just one day just go, oh, I'm going to make content. It just sort of it evolves, you know. Mm-hmm. And especially with wrestling, and my mind's always going with stuff like that. So I've always got my phone on me, and there's about a million notes of ideas that I have and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it was just a gradual thing, I suppose.
Yeah. But like you said, you started in July and some 6-7 months later, you've got over 10,000 followers on Twitter. So I think it's something that you can be really, really proud of yourself that you've built up such a following so quickly.
Yeah, I would say really proud of how quickly it's gone. But I'm not one of those people to sit back and go, oh, it's great. It's always about, okay, what can we do?
What's the next step?
What can we do next? What can we do next? You know, and even people we won't, you know, people slag him off a lot, but you look at people like Vincent McMahon and their work ethic and all that sort of stuff, and that's sort of the inspiration, you know, just what's next? What can we do to improve? So doing things like the podcast, or doing things like the YouTube videos is like the next step, and then you go, okay, how can we improve that? So that's the thing I really enjoy about it. I really enjoy not only interacting with everyone and having discussions about wrestling, because, you know, growing up, we didn't really have those discussions with anyone. But also as well, it's always the challenge of what's next. And, you know, just being a perfectionist, you know, you're probably the same of, you know, when you're doing the podcast, you're like, okay, how can we make this better? Or when you see some reward of people actually, like, it still blows my mind to this day that people like will watch the YouTube videos or listen to anything. You go, well, this is my opinion, but people are listening. This is great. You know, it blows your mind. So I think it just comes down to it. Like I said, it's not like work or anything like that. It's just fun. And yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, and essentially that's the best part about wrestling. It's the fact that it is fun. So your content entered like the news sharing sector, and like I said, you've got YouTube. What is it that would you say stands out about your content, especially in those sectors that are the quite heavily saturated, and there's a very, very competitive mm-hmm. atmosphere there. What is it about WrestleNews 365 that stands out above the masses?
I would say the thing that makes it stand out is it's more opinion based, and it's more getting the fans discussing and asking each other questions and sharing their opinions. A lot of other wrestling news sites, all they want to do is tell you the news or make up the news in certain cases. Mm-hmm. And that's not really for us to do. I think the most enjoyable thing as a fan is not only to hear the news, but also it's to just share your opinions and discuss things and, you know, have a laugh and all that sort of stuff. You know, I cringe sometimes when I see some people, they'll have like a news report and then at the end of it, they'll end their report with this thing of going, they shouldn't be doing this if they want to succeed in WWE, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, you can't, the phrase is you can't be half pregnant. So you can't do a factual news story and have your opinion at the end of it. You have to either just do an opinion piece or a news piece. So for me, like I said, it's more, I just lean on the more, okay, we're going to talk about the news, but we're going to share our opinion on it, but not tell you the news at the same time sort of thing, or try and, you know, sway your opinion on it, of it. I always, if it's an opinion post, it's just an opinion post. If it's a news post, it's just a news post. Or at the end of the news post, I'll ask the person who's reading it is the question, because I don't want to slant their opinion on what they think or don't think about this story or anything like that. It's up to them to make their mind up, and I want them to share that with me and share that with everyone else, you know. Mm-hmm. With news and anything in pro wrestling, it's just about starting. Our job is to start the discussion and then keep that bonfire going, pretty much, you know, not dampen it out by just putting your opinion of, oh, this is the news and this is what I think about it, bang.
Yeah. So in the area, the mediums that you create content in, there's, like I said, there's some big hitters, there's some big names and big personalities. Who are some of the people that inspire you in those sections?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I really like British guy, Alex McCarthy.
Yeah.
He's great. He just started his Talk Wrestling's back on TalkSport. Mm-hmm. And I'm really pleased for him. He's a really nice guy. Obviously, you like the big hitters. It's people like Ryan Satin. I really like. He got a bit of stick about the whole Sasha Banks thing at WrestleMania a couple of years ago, which he's kind of had to back off of. Got a bit of heat on. But most of the time, I don't try and compare myself to too many of them like that, because I sort of think sometimes that we're completely different from that. Like I said, we are news, but we're more opinion and discussion and that sort of thing. So I really do like what Alex McCarthy's doing. I'm a big fan of his, and he's always been really good in the interactions I've had with him. And, you know, the good thing about being not necessarily just news and just being this typical wrestling journalist is when you do speak to actual wrestlers, they're not so scared to talk to you, because I've spoken with some wrestlers in the States and over here that if they know you're a journalist, they're not going to talk to you. But if you just, you're saying to them you're a fan of their work and all that sort of stuff, that sort of breaks the barrier down a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, one of the people who I really look towards in the sector that you're in is Tom Collihue. He's a local lad to me, so I've got that kind of a affinity with him. And he's also, like I said, kind of along the lines of Alex McCarthy. He's just a genuinely good guy.
Yeah, I like his work. Is he from Blackpool?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because he was at the William Regal thing the other week, and it was really cool. Yeah, he's really nice. I think I had an interaction with him a couple of days ago. Yeah, he's great. Yeah.
Is about 40 minutes away from me.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're entering my world, the podcast world, and we talk about the news sector being saturated now. Obviously, the podcast world is so saturated now.
Yeah.
Even in the time that I've been recording recording wrestling podcasts, it's kind of exploded the scene. Then basically anyone who's got a voice and has got a pair of headphones and a phone can put out a podcast. So tell us about your idea for a podcast. What kind of a podcast is WrestleNews 365 bringing to the forefront?
So it's a watch along podcast, the WrestleNews 365 watch along podcast, and essentially it's not one of these super long podcasts. It's not like a super recapping the news podcast or anything like that. All it is just we'll watch a match. We're not going to watch a whole pay per view or a whole show. Maybe occasionally we might, but we're going to watch a match, watch a promo, watch a segment from something that is, within the time. So, for instance, recently it would have been like some Royal Rumble stuff. Or in February, we've got some stuff from some takeovers coming up, or even some WCW shows, some Super Brawl shows. And we just pick a match. Well, either it doesn't necessarily have to be with a guest, but sometimes it'll be with a guest. Watch the match, discuss it, maybe talk about if we've ever seen it before, what we thought of it, does it hold up, doesn't it hold up, the person in the match, what they would go on to do or not do. And it just, it's watching a little bit of wrestling. A lot of the time you talk about the network, sometimes it's difficult to go back and watch a 3-hour pay-per-view that you might want to watch, but you can always take time to watch like a 15-minute match, go, I really enjoyed that match, or I really enjoyed that promo. So I'll just be watching that, and then at the end of it, doing some hot takes. So a bit of an exclusive one. I'll try and discuss this for you now. Do you think that Vince Russo deserves to be in the Hall of Fame?
I think that he does.
I agree with you. I agree with you, but I know that that is a very, very, very hot take.
Yeah, and wrestling Twitter will hate you for it, and they'll hate me for it as well.
Exactly.
But I do think he brought a lot of innovation to the wrestling world, and there's still shadows of his influence in wrestling today. The fact that he brought mainstream media into wrestling, the fact that he brought such outlandish characters and some of the match stipulations. Yeah, he worked better with a filter with Vince McMahon, basically as that kind of calming influence. When he got to WCW, when he had free reign, he kind of did go a little bit off the rails. I can understand that. And again with TNA, but I think as a person with a great mind for wrestling, he's definitely up there with one of the best.
See, I totally agree with that. My argument with it is, you know, if people think that Eric Bischoff is worthy of being in the Hall of Fame, then surely Vince Russo is. Eric Bischoff got WCW hot for, what, 2 and a bit years, 3 years? Mm-hmm. Vince Russo did the same with WWE. And now people go, yeah, but they don't induct writers and there's plenty of people that should be in there ahead of him. Absolutely, there should be. But I think, how can you not? You look at the success in terms of how many people were watching, but I know some people would be like, absolutely no way. He's you know, car crash television. He's this, he's that. He killed WCW, he killed TNA. He's a backstabber, all this sort of stuff. So hot takes like that will take place. Like, so advert there. Hot takes like that will take place after the after we watch the promo segment or match and stuff like that. So we pick like 3 or 4 every week and have a little debate, which I'm sure, like you said, will get wrestling Twitter really riled up.
And that's a very unique selling point because watch-alongs are becoming a very, very popular kind of wrestling podcast, especially with the Conrad Thompson podcast where he's regularly does watch-alongs. Yeah. So adding that kind of facet to it makes your show unique and makes it really would really stand out.
Yeah, like I said, like you said, the watch-along is a thing that is growing more and more. You have watch-alongs for everything now. I saw someone the other day that some of the people that were in the US office do a watch-along podcast of the office. They watch an episode every week and they say what's going on like during that episode. I was like, whoa, I can't believe people would listen to that.
There must be a market for it, but yeah. It's not something I think I'll be getting to.
No, I definitely know it's my one. I just watched the programme, maybe, but I don't know. Yeah, so like I said, watch-alongs have grown loads, but it's still about having the conversation of the hot takes afterwards. Like I mentioned about having my phone in my pocket with my notes, they're ones that, like, a hot take pop in my head. I'm like, oh, write that down.
Yeah, well, I'll be certainly signing up to that feed on mine. I'll add it to my hundreds and hundreds of podcasts that I get through.
24-hour daily podcast.
Yeah, exactly. On to that, I was part of a podcast network not so long ago, and we were actually discussing doing a 24 hours a day, 7 days a week podcast with obviously like different people like taking over certain slots, but yeah, it never come to fruition. But that's definitely something that I can see happening in the future, where somebody just has a podcast running over and over and over, just like infinity.
Which is funny because that's radio. That's what a radio station is.
Well, yeah,
you know what I mean? Which is what it is. And people will be like, oh, it's revolutionary. Let's look, 24-hour podcast. And you're like, it's radio.
Exactly. Wowie Watch is proud to be working with powerslam.tv. You can use our code MAGS to get yourself a 30-day free trial and watch up to 4,000 hours of quality independent wrestling content. Just make sure you sign up with your laptop for the code to work, and then after that you can download the Android app or the App Store app and watch this amazing content from powerslam.tv.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others, with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Well, Owen, I've absolutely loved having this chat with you. I'm really, really glad that you agreed to come on the show. What I like to do at the end of the questioning segment is do a little bit of word association. I'll throw some words or phrases from this wacky sport that we love so much, and you just tell me like the first things that come to your mind. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
Right, let's go with the head honcho, the big man himself, Mr. Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Work rate.
Work rate. Do you want to expand on that, or are you just happy to just stay with work rate?
Some people will say like genius and all that sort of stuff and all of that, and it's true, and he might be out of touch to this date, but for me, Vince McMahon is the like pinnacle of work rate. You look at how in his 70s how much he does, and he still looks unbelievable, and he's a cyborg, you know, but he's, like I said earlier, he's someone that you look to in terms of work rate. That's, you know, that's the peak. That's the peak.
Yeah, exactly. And wrestling fans nowadays, obviously, Vince McMahon is blamed for a lot of things wrong with WWE. But if he wasn't the person that he was or still is, wrestling would not even be a thing. It wouldn't be as it is now. We'd still be in the territory days where you only watch wrestling from one certain area.
Yeah, and I think also Vince McMahon, people forget, like, if you listen to anyone that's really worked for Vince McMahon, I would say 99% of the people have nothing but really good words to say about him as a person. They might not agree with his business practices or about how he books television, but as a person, everyone will say, oh, no, he's a nice guy, you know, so, which says quite a lot.
Yeah, and I think I've read and heard many an interview where the person have said that the only thing he expects is that you are willing to work hard. And if you don't like his ideas or you don't like the way that he sees your wrestling character, pitch him something. Better, and he's always willing to listen.
Yeah, exactly.
So next we will go with the heir apparent, Triple H.
Ooh, that is a tough one. Triple H in a couple of words. I would say, if it was two words, I would say next step. And I'll elaborate on that because I think he does understand what professional wrestling is in 2020 or what it will be in 2021, 2022. You look at NXT in comparison to the main roster. I'm not be one of those people, main roster's terrible, blah, 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 blah. But you can tell by the way he presents the show and how he talks about professional wrestling, it does feel like the logical next step of how professional wrestling is going to evolve. You know, people, the term, isn't it, is sports orientated, or, you know, that's what everyone likes to say. Oh, sports orientated, blah, blah, blah. For me, regardless of what you want to say about him, he's not like Vince McMahon in the sense that not everyone will, that has worked with him, you know, will completely praise him. Some people have some terrible things to say about him, but he gets it in terms of where, especially WWE, needs to go. So I would say he's the next step.
Yeah, no, really good points there. How do you think the WWE will go once he does take over? Because if you look at the almost layman fan idea is that when Triple H takes over, he's kind of going to save the WWE. He's going to bring in these sweeping changes. How do you feel that'll go?
I laugh a little bit at that because I don't think it will necessarily be like that. I don't think anyone's going to, it's not going to be like it is now in the sense that one person has the final say on everything. Mm-hmm. That will be incredibly, it's a $1 billion public company. It will be incredibly segmented. Certain people will be responsible for certain bits. The problem that you could have because of that is when you don't have one person having the final say, things tend to not happen. That would be, you know, the only worry about it, I suppose. But I don't think it's going to be like sweeping changes. I don't think WWE is going to suddenly go back to TV-14 and all that kind of stuff. Those days just aren't going to happen. Like I said, it's a publicly traded company. It's a $1 billion company. It's, you know, WWE is the NFL of professional wrestling. You know, they're not going to change in terms of, like, you know, go back to the Attitude Era because they don't need to. They're not going to go out of business because they're PG or anything like that. The only thing that might change, there might be certain tweaks if Triple H is in charge. You might have some of the less campy comedy segments that everyone tends to hate. But I don't think the changes are going to be sweeping or anything like that. But I think it's just going to be a modern update, you know?
Yeah. I fully agree. Fully agree. So Next, we'll go with AEW's version of Triple H. We'll go with Cody Rhodes. What are your opinion on Cody?
In a couple of words? It's always difficult in a couple of words because I like to talk. A couple of words, Cody Rhodes. I would say two words. I would say he's done well. I think he's done well. He was absolutely right and vindicated to leave WWE. He did the right call. He's more over than he's ever been. He should have been a main event star in WWE, but he bet on himself, took the risk, and it's paid off massively for him. I do sometimes question about, you know, is he necessarily right to be an executive vice president of a company? It's difficult, you know. Sometimes in some of his interviews, when he'll say certain things about what they want for AEW, and I'm a bit like, you know. But I think he's doing a reasonable job, and from a corporate point of view as well, you know, he's got an incredible fan base behind him. You know, he hasn't got anyone that really hates him or thinks he's an idiot or whatever. He's got a great connection with the fans, not just from a wrestling point of view, but from a corporate point of view, which they love. So if it's any media or calls or conference calls, it's always with Cody Rhodes. I've been on one before, and he's, you know, again, talk about people that have not a bad word to say about people. Everyone loves Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
And like I said, he bet on himself, and he made the right call. So you can't fault him for that.
No, absolutely not. From a personal point of view, he was never my favourite wrestler. I always appreciated his ring work, but he was never kind of like a standout person in my eyes. But good on him for having the kind of self-belief that he thought that he could do better than what he was getting at WWE. He went out, and for me, it's not even so much about the wrestling now for him. It's the businessman that he's got, that he's created, or he's been part of creating this entity almost out of nothing, almost out of a bet with Dave Meltzer, or whether they could sell out an arena. And he took that and absolutely run with it and made one of the biggest forces in wrestling today. And you've got to give it up for that.
Absolutely. And I mean, when you talk about AEW, you have to also realize as well that this is something that's never happened before. When WCW, when they went to Monday nights, when they had Nitro, they had like, you know, 10, 20 years, including like the JCP days and beyond. They had so many years behind them in terms of being run as a company and being relatively established, you know. AEW's come out of nowhere. Literally, they were founded, 12 months ago, and have a TV deal that's just been extended for 3 years. This has never happened before, and it probably won't happen again in terms of a company just being founded, run by a billionaire. So, you know, sure, there are going to be issues along the way, but that would be with any company. Yep. You know, in terms of their batting average, I think they're doing pretty well. And like you said, you have to give credit to people like Cody Rhodes and the EVPs there. I'm sure they're learning as they go along as well. So, you know, and being a professional wrestler, it's not easy. And like you said, he's done well. He's done really well. You have to give it to him.
Definitely. So next, we will go with what's your opinion on kind of, for me, a lost art in wrestling, although AEW are bringing it back to the forefront. What's your opinion on tag team wrestling?
I love tag team wrestling. I think it's a completely, like you said, it's a forgotten art. Because people don't realize a tag team match is obviously because of the people that are in the match, but tag team wrestling is completely different to singles wrestling. It's the use of the referee, it's the use of the tag rope, it's the use of the tag team rules, all of that stuff. And it always frustrates me to see the use of the tag team division in the WWE when you have two guys thrown together that being an established tag team. Well, you've just killed your tag team there, because if they've been tagging together their whole career, they shouldn't have a problem in beating this person if this was a shoot, because they understand tag team rules better than singles rules. That's how it works. Think about it as tennis. You wouldn't have two great singles tennis players beat a doubles team in tennis, because the double team understands how it works, you know. So I enjoyed that it's been brought back, or it's definitely highlighted more in AEW. I agree with the criticisms that Chris Jericho even called a meeting about, saying that they have to, you know, not bury the ref in the sense that they're not even sometimes making tags or they're not holding the tag rope, yeah. All that sort of stuff. To me, that sort of stuff is really important. I'm part of the people that do think the Revival will go to AEW. Someone said to me on social media, which did tickle me, that, I think the Revival will stay. WWE seems to be taking their tag team division more seriously recently. And I went, are you kidding me? Is that a rib? Even if they are, even if they say to them they are, they decide they're not that interested about a month later.
Yeah.
You had the best tag team in the world, apparently, according to WWE, losing a 2-on-1 handicap match in the opening of Raw. You know, that just, all of that stuff. So I love tag team wrestling. Even though AEW are featuring it more, you're still going to have to go back to some ways to get people like, you know, like you had with like the Road Warriors, where they were the main event.
Yeah.
I mean, let's hope we can one day get back to that, where you could sell out an arena based on a tag team match. I don't know if we ever could anymore. That would be a topic of discussion. But like I said, I love tag team wrestling. I think it's sorely underutilized in terms of a card, just because people are like, oh, but there's more men, you know, in that match. That's the Vince McMahon point of view, isn't it? Why would you have four men on a card when you could just have two? Yeah, and it costs you less. But it's an attraction, isn't it? And that's what wrestling is, an attraction business.
Yeah, it's definitely my wheelhouse. I've loved tag team wrestling ever since I've loved wrestling. My biggest like fandoms were of tag teams, because it's the story that they can tell in the ring. You don't even need any kind of like backstory or any kind of like reasoning why these teams are facing off. It's that you can tell an amazing story in a tag team match just by hot tags and like the heels beating down the faces and cheating and like you said, the use of the referee, the use of the tag rope, stuff like that, really cheating, and then you get that hot tag and the crowd erupts. And it's just an amazing story.
And it's never changed, because every time you do have a good tag match on the show, like you said, when you get the hot tag, crowds go nuts. The crowd love the tension of, are they going to make the tag? That's never changed, and it will never go out of fashion. It will never go out of fashion.
Exactly. So the last one we will go with, and it is wrestling's hot topic if you look at the likes of WWE, and obviously with the Tessa Blanchard incident, but... What's your thoughts on women's wrestling?
So I love women's wrestling. I think, like you said, it's a touchy topic, because I'm all for a fan of having women main event and all of that stuff, as long as the match is good. I think sometimes the problem is with WWE has found is that, you know, when they had the likes of, you know, your Carmella and Alexa Bliss's the champions and all that sort of stuff, for me, it ultimately goes down to whether they can work well or not. For me, they weren't amazing workers. So, you know, but it's a case, we'll feature them on the card because we need to feature them on the card. There's plenty of good women wrestlers out there who can work, who can really work. You know, you had Becky Lynch call herself the GOAT on Raw, and I said, it doesn't look like Io Shirai, you know, because she's an unbelievable worker.
Yeah.
Like I said, I enjoy women's wrestling just the same way that I enjoy men's wrestling, if they can work and they can tell a story that I'm invested in. And that's all it really comes down to, really.
Yeah, and you kind of touched on there with Io Shirai and the GOAT. I think now with the wrestling from when I grew up, was all women's wrestling especially was kind of like an afterthought. It was kind of just there to touch on certain demographics.
Yeah.
But now there's women who you could easily put in the conversation for not being just the best women wrestlers, but being the best actual wrestlers, full stop.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, there's certain women's wrestlers that without a doubt could headline or main event a card with ease. I pitched recently that takeover for the WrestleMania weekend, if she's back and healthy in time, you could easily have a Rhea Ripley versus Io Shirai main event that show. Easily. And it would tear the house down. Easily. You could pull that off.
The rumours are that it's going to be Rhea Ripley against Charlotte Flair.
Well, yeah, I've put that out there as well earlier, because regardless of her Rumble win or not, the rumor is that the plan is still going to be Becky Lynch versus Shayna Baszler and have Bayley versus Sasha at WrestleMania. So what happens with Charlotte? Rhea Ripley did pin her at Survivor Series. It would certainly be interesting and would certainly elevate NXT once again. Does this credible, the first time ever a Royal Rumble winner says, no, actually, I want an NXT title. Yeah. I mean, that's a great story to tell. And Charlotte got a lot of hate for winning the Royal Rumble at the weekend. And maybe rightfully so. They say, oh, she's won everything and all she's done is push to the moon. But Charlotte is, like you mentioned, not just being a great female worker, she's a great worker in general. Like her stuff is really, really good. And then in comparison to, like I said, not to, you know, have a go at them or tarnish them, but sometimes I watch like Alexa Bliss's stuff and I'm just like, you know, lay your shit in. Come on, like, you know, something, you know, this... where Charlotte Flair's, you know, she's great in the ring. She is so good in the ring. I think about her match she had with Ronda Rousey at Survivor Series, and when she beat the hell out of her, like, that's great, you know? That stuff's great. So I'd love to see a Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair match.
Yeah, it would be awesome. And I totally agree with you on the sentiments about Charlotte Flair. I give her, my Badlands co-host Paul, a lot of grief about Charlotte Flair. He's a massive stan of Charlotte Flair. So anytime he brings her up on a Mount Rushmore, I like to veto and get her took off. But I will happily admit that she's the John Cena of that division. It's as simple as that. We've had Becky in the last 18 months, 2 years or so, who's come and been the big star. And that's totally been an amazing, it's been a breath of fresh air, but the actual workhorse of that division has always been Charlotte Flair. And like I said, she got grief about winning the Rumble, she got grief about being entered into the WrestleMania main event last year, but I don't think anyone else deserved it more than Charlotte for how much she's carried that women's division.
Yeah, and also as well, I think if you were to line up those four horsewomen, you know, if you were going to say who's the best worker out of those four, you'd probably say Charlotte, close with Sasha, and then the other two to sort of fall there. If anything, there's probably another hot take. I would probably say Becky's probably the worst worker out of them four, but she's the best on the mic. You know, sometimes I watch Becky.
Your hot takes aren't that hot, do you?
I know. We'll get you on the podcast. Be like, yeah, okay, that's hot takes done.
Cold takes.
Yeah, exactly. Very cold takes. Stone cold takes. There you go.
Yeah. Well, Owen, this has been a brilliant. I've absolutely loved it. Not only this episode, but the Badlands that we recorded earlier. Thank you so much for coming on. Let the Why We Watch listeners know where they can get hold of you on social media, where they can find your content, not only on YouTube, but obviously your podcast. Let everyone know all that good stuff.
Yeah, so we're on social media at 365 Wrestle. Tweeting on there all the time, nearly every hour, doing live tweets of shows, Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-views, all that lovely stuff. We're on Facebook as well at WrestleNews365. We're on Instagram at WrestleNews365. We've got our website, WrestleNews365.com. We've got a merch store, WN365merch.com. And you can also find us on YouTube at WrestleNews365. We do some videos on there as well. And as you touched on, we've got a podcast launching soon, the WrestleNews365 Watch Along podcast, available on all platforms. Plugs over. There's a million of them.
I'm a relatively new watcher of your content on YouTube, but yeah, it's a breath of fresh air. The short, succinct little videos that give you the news or the opinions, and I really like the way you put out your content. And like I said, you're so massively active on wrestling Twitter hourly like tweets and reports and stuff like that. It's really good to see you're thriving in this kind of like sector.
Thank you very much. Like I said, it's just fun. It's fun. It's all it can ever be. Just fun.
Exactly. A massive, massive thank you for you again coming on the show. I really, really do appreciate it. So, guys, you can follow me on Twitter if you wish to to get involved in some wrestling debates. At DAJ Kirby, you can follow this show on Twitter at WhileWeWatchPod. Go and give Owen a follow over at WrestleNews 365 and go and check out his content. It's absolutely really quality stuff from a fellow Brit. So, yeah, go and show him some love. Thank you guys for listening. Another massive, massive thank you to Owen for coming on the show. And that is the end.
Listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.